We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From the
Mobile
Pod World headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider. Brought to you by AT&T, a proud supporter of Carolina Athletics.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones, Adam, back with you again. Man, we have a jam-packed show today. It's bursting at the seams, Adam, with info and hilarity.
It'll definitely have info. We're just taking no days off from the hashtag grind.
Why would we?
They said it might get lighter, but it will not. Not as long as you're holding that pod box.
That's right. This pod box, don't quit.
It only knows one way to pod, and that's all out.
Yeah, it's full speed ahead.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the spring game. Happened on Saturday. We have an interview with former Tar Heel offensive lineman Landon Turner. Got a chance to talk to Landon. Really enjoy it. Landon is a multi-layered dude. And so we're going to talk some football, talk about other stuff as well with him coming up in just a little bit. I think you'll enjoy that. We, Adam, received several folks who wanted to jump in with their own personal Tar Heel song memory lane list. Trademark. Don't go trying to steal that, SportsCenter. So we will go through some of those. I know you have a list. And who else knows what's going to happen?
You never know who might stop by.
Yeah.
It's the time of year when Theo Pinson just randomly shows up.
Yeah.
Take a little break from the NBA playoffs.
Yeah. We know you're with the Nets right now, but no big deal.
You know Ed Davis had a big game in that series.
I heard. So, Adam, let's start with the spring game. It was kind of a funky Saturday, and full disclosure, neither Adam nor I was there. We both had previously scheduled commitments on that evening, and so we were unable to be there. Obviously, we have both, I'm sure, but I know I have kind of gone back and looked at it and read about it and listened to Mac Brown and talked to some folks who were there, and so got a good feel for what happened. But Adam, I think in total, just kind of a funky day because of the weather, and the crowd was fine. I think there were somewhere around 5,000, maybe a little more, that were there. I think that number was lower than it would have been had there not been so much, uncertainty about the weather, because there was the threat of some severe storms all weekend long. Didn't really happen until late Sunday night, but as it turned out, it was rainy kind of all day except in the window of the spring game. And so they were able to get it in, and I do think from the crowd side of it, I wish there had been a more consistent quality weather forecast, because I do think you lost a little bit of fan support for the actual day just because of the weather.
I think one of the silliest things going is rating your enthusiasm based on the crowd at your spring football practice.
Yeah.
I understand, like, that's really all you have to rate, because you can't really adequately describe the team because they're playing against themselves. So you can't say, oh, well, what a great bunch of warriors. So you have to find something to rate, because we have to rate everything. And so we've decided somehow in the world of sports world that your spring game crowd says something definitive about you. Well, and like, oh, look, Carolina didn't have as many fans as Nebraska at Nebraska's spring game. Oh, yeah? I wonder why that is. It's because, hey, I got some news. This was a start. This was the start. You can't even compare it to that year that Butch Davis was here and the spring game had a bunch of people. You can't even compare it to that, because that wasn't the start. That was at the absolute apex of that era of Carolina football. That was the peak. So you can't compare this to that. It's like comparing the exhibition game against Marathon Oil to the Duke game and then going, I guess they don't care about basketball. It's the very start. Get back to me in 3 years.
Man, I didn't know that I was going to light a fire. We hadn't even talked about anything that actually happened on the field yet.
Yeah, well, I'm not as fired up about that because it's a practice.
As far as what actually did happen on the field, I think we saw a lot of things that we probably thought we were going to see, and that is Carolina has some good young quarterbacks that all have the capability of being very good. And I do think it's going to be a challenge just to sort that out, because I think, as Mac Brown has said, I think he thinks, and Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator, thinks that Carolina can win with any of those guys. They're all talented. They're all young. They're all kind of at the same place as far as learning the new offense. And so you don't have one of them that's ahead because they're more advanced with the playbook. They're kind of all at the same place. And so you saw all three of them have some success. Jace Reuter had the biggest play today, a 77-yard pass to Carl Tucker. You know, all of them made some nice plays. Carolina has some skill players, I think, that are worth being excited about. Michael Carter did not play in this game, but Javonte Williams had a really big game. Tar Heels have some wide receivers that are going to be playmakers, as we would expect them to be. And I think also you saw an aggressive defense that has some potential to be exciting, but was down five or six guys that are probably going to play a lot, maybe even start. And you know that depth is a question there, but you saw a couple of exciting plays. I think seven sacks is what they were unofficially recorded, which is a good number. So I think you saw a lot of the things that you probably could have expected to see had you been paying attention to everything that Mac Brown has been saying through spring ball.
I think when you look at the spring game, you just don't want to see anything demoralizing. I think that's the main criteria. Not what do you see. Just don't see anything that makes you go, ooh, things are not as what I thought they were. This is very concerning. And I don't think you saw that. And like you said, there were also, remember, several players who did not play, who will be important. So any areas that you saw, they're like, not sure about that. Then you got to remember, oh, but that's right, there's some other personnel there. Not to mention, as Coach Brown told us last week, you don't know what's going to come in and right. show up this summer in terms of freshmen and all of a sudden make a big impact. So to me, the thing about the spring game is you just don't want to walk away thinking, ooh, it's going to be a long fall. And I in no way got that impression, because I thought everyone was pretty much as advertised as has been talked about. Mm-hmm. Not to say that everyone was fantastic and the Tar Heels are going to be number one, but everyone was basically what we had heard all along, which I think is encouraging.
You know, particularly on the defensive side, depth has been an issue during this spring ball. But again, I mean, you're talking fire, you know, Miles Dorn, Miles Wolfolk. I think he was either limited or did not compete in the game. So those are, you know, Alan Cater did not compete. Tyrone Hopper did not compete. So, I mean, you've got a lot of guys who are going to play who were not available. Plus, I do think there's some impact guys defensively coming in. And so those numbers will improve through the summer. And in listening to Mac Brown after the game, two things I thought stood out to me. One is he talked about how important he thought this summer was strength and conditioning wise, and not necessarily that he thinks his team is like weak or something, but in the fact that he was saying, yeah, you can't, if you're injured, we don't want you to play, but you got to play through a little bit of something. And we also want to make those little bit of somethings go away, the sore hamstrings, the sore ankles, the sore shoulders, whatever. And I think that the continued dedication to the strength and conditioning program and what Brian Hess is doing should hopefully help Carolina in some of those areas. Again, as we've talked about, I think you've heard nothing but very positive reviews from Coach Hess, both from the other coaches and from the players. And he will now be the coach that is with them the most. In fact, the only coach that can be with them here over the next several months. And then also, and maybe this was, I just thought the way Mac Brown said it was interesting. He said how this upcoming week, which is the week we are in now, how they're going to sit down with every single player and essentially do kind of exit interviews and say, all right, this is how many plays, if it was right now, this is how many plays you would play for us in a game. This is what we really like. This is what we didn't really like. And I just think that honesty and openness is a positive. And sometimes you hear things you don't want to hear, of course. But hopefully that is something that can help Carolina on an individual player level moving forward.
Yeah, and also a time when you find out about some of those guys, because let's say I tell you you're only going to play 10 plays and you thought I was going to say 50. Are you going to go in a shell and say, oh, gee whiz, well, this isn't working out? Or are you going to say, well, I'll show you, right, Mac Brown, and when you come see me again in August, you're going to tell me 50. And as Landon Turner talks about later today, this is when some of the upperclassmen start to sort of separate themselves and stand out in terms of leadership, and it'll be interesting to see who among them does that.
He did get the news. J.J. McCargo, who's been a starter at Carolina in the past, is medically retiring from football. I don't know if that was a big surprise to the coaches. It has been something that's been a battle for J.J. for a while now. And so Carolina will continue to adjust things on the offensive line. You know, Nick Polino, who has been a guard for the most part at Carolina on that line, spent a large majority of the spring at center, although he would also slide over to guard some. Brian Anderson would play the center position. So be interested to see kind of how the interior of that offensive line continues to evolve. I think Charlie Heck and Jordan Tucker right now, somebody that Charlie Heck mentioned last on the last pod, I think those two guys right now have those two tackle spots in control. Of course, things could change over the next several months, but the interior of that offensive line will shuffle a little bit. And staying healthy is going to be important for Carolina. And that goes back to the strength and conditioning aspect of it. Because I think the Tar Heels, as far as their frontline guys, and I may have said this here recently, I think they're okay there. They feel okay. It's when you have to start getting a little bit deeper, especially on the defensive side right now, where you get seeing some bumps in the road. So all of this will continue to progress as they move through summer ball and as you get to fall camp here in several months. That's not happening until early August. But, Adam, I think the overall result from spring is Mac Brown has his arms now, I think, much more fully around Carolina football than he did 3 months ago, because obviously he does with just the timing of all of it, and seems to have a very clear idea of where his team is, both on kind of an individual player level and on a big picture level, and where they need to go to get to eventually where they want to be, if all that makes sense.
Yeah, I think this was the beginning, and I think it was about as good a beginning as you can have. And now Mac Brown will be able to go out and talk to Rams Club members on the Tar Heel Tour with you, and he'll know much more about his team than he did back in December and January, so he'll be able to talk about people, get people excited. But this is always the toughest time, I think, as far as being a college football fan, because you get so fired up about spring practice and you get to go out there and see them play, and then there's nothing.
Yeah, then you hit the pause button for a while.
Yeah, and you don't even see them. And I think that I just think this is the toughest time, because you get all ramped up and you start thinking game-wise, but there really aren't any games for quite some time.
Adam, anything else from this weekend Tar Heel-wise that stood out to you? I know baseball took 2 of 3 from Notre Dame. I know they were disappointed probably not to sweep that series. They lost in a last at bat play for the opposition, where Notre Dame was able to get a win in the final game of that series. Both lacrosse has competed. Softball has been battled weather all weekend long, but tennis is moving into ACC tournament time. So just kind of you're starting to hit the finish line here for the season in total. Of course, baseball ends up going the longest of anybody, but starting to get close to the end here for everybody.
Well, and even for all the tough losses for baseball, they're a game out in the Coastal behind Georgia Tech with some manageable series coming up. Mm-hmm. So you've got a chance to make a little push here, and all you can ask is be in contention to win the Coastal. And then after that, you see what happens. Crazy things over in the Atlantic, because the Wolfpack got swept by Louisville.
Yep.
And Louisville hammered them a couple times. So, again, the ACC is good in baseball. You're going to face as good a teams in the ACC as you're going to face anywhere. And Carolina's right there in the Coastal.
Women's tennis, number 1 seed in the ACC tournament. The guys are the 3 seed in the ACC tournament. So that's coming up here over the next few days. So a lot going on as the spring sports round, either kind of in the back half of the regular season or start getting into their postseason action here over the next few weeks.
One random note about sort of a spring sport. Had the sort of just completely randomly met Nicole Green this weekend, who is a Carolina women's track and field athlete who also just happens to be the national champion in the high jump.
Who happens to be awesome.
Yeah, and so I met her in a context that had absolutely nothing to do with athletics and had 100% to do with academics. And so there were a couple other students up there with her, and so they had to describe where they were from and what they did at Carolina. And she was like, well, I'm from Florida, and I'm an exercise and sports science major. I'm pre-med. I'm going to medical school. I was a biology major, but I changed to EXSS because I thought this fit my career goals a little better, but I do want to go into medical school and be a doctor, and I'm an athlete. I'm track and field, and that's what I do here, and I love being at Carolina. And then the professor who was in the room goes, she didn't mention this, but she's also the national champion in the high jump. I think sometimes we forget that in addition to the athletes that we talk about on here all the time, there's hundreds of other Nicole Greens out there who are doing ridiculous stuff. Mm-hmm. In addition to, and she described some of the classes she was taking, and there wasn't one she described that I could do. I couldn't even read the syllabus on anything she talked about. And so to be able to balance that type of stuff is really impressive, but they're doing it all the time. We just don't talk about it all the time.
One of those student athletes who did it at Carolina is Landon Turner, member of that 2015 Carolina football team that won 11 games and went to the ACC championship game, had the terrific year, and had an opportunity to speak to Landon. He was back in the area before heading to preseason camp or OTAs or whatever it's starting now for the NFL teams, as he's with the Carolina Panthers. And so I had a chance to talk to Landon about the NFL, about what he likes to do away from football, about kind of the difficulties of not quite knowing what your next step is sometimes, and of course about his time at Carolina as well. So let's get to our interview with former Tar Heel Landon Turner. Man, excited to have joining us now on the Carolina Insider. Number one, legitimately just one of the nicest dudes that you're ever going to meet. But number two, a heck of a football player as well. Landon Turner is joining us. Landon, of course, was a member of that 11-win 2015 Carolina football team that went to the ACC championship game. He has been in the NFL ever since, been with the Saints, been with the Vikings for a little bit, and now
a little bit.
And now with the Carolina Panthers, and offseason stuff just about coming to an end for the Panthers. So Landon's heading back to Charlotte, getting back to work here soon. But nice enough to give us a couple of minutes. Landon, first of all, How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Appreciate you having me in here. So I had some extra time. The off season is kind of nice, you know.
And you said I want to come into the most luxurious spot that I can.
I'll tell you what. We are in the best digs right now.
Where only the pros play.
I happen to be staring at a urinal. you know, it's just the best.
That's right.
At Carolina.
That's right. Only the finest. So Landon, before we get to Carolina stuff, just kind of catch everybody up on what's been going on in your life since you left Chapel Hill.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's been quite the road. I was in 2015. So 2015 was my last season here. And after that, I went to the combine, worked out pro day, ended up not getting drafted, got signed with the Saints about 5 minutes after the draft. So didn't waste much time there. That was encouraging. Made the team the first year. Played in 7 games, mostly a jumbo tight end role. And then I was a practice squad the next year, got cut and put on practice squad, kind of stayed there the whole season. And then this year, at the end of camp, got cut, didn't get a call back, and kind of hopped around, had workouts, plenty of workouts, lots of workouts. And they brought me back for a week, and from Tuesday to Friday, so it was a fun little stint. And then and I was in Minnesota for a week and maybe 2 days, 3 days, something like that. And then finally the Panthers for the last 2 weeks of the season. So that's the short version of where I've been at.
When you have a successful college career, obviously a player that can compete at the next level, what was going through the draft like and not hearing your name called?
Not a highlight, I could tell you that much. you know, I made the mistake. I was actually talking with a young man who's looking at it now. He kind of wanted to just ask me some questions about the process this morning, and I was explaining to him. I asked him what he was doing for the draft, and he said he's getting away. And I think that's the best thing you could do. I sat there, and I watched the whole thing. You know, I didn't make a spectacle of it. It was just me and my family and a couple of my best friends that, and in the basement back home, watching it on the TV. And you know, I'm not gonna say I regret it, because it doesn't really matter anymore,
right?
But if I were to do it again, I would have just gotten away and kept my phone on me, you know, just kept it on me, because you know, it's tough to sit there and you're like, all right, well, first round, you know, who knows, maybe my phone will ring. But no. And then second day rolls and you're like, all right, today's the day, everything's fine, it'll be fine. You're just watching like name after name after name. Some of them make sense, some of them you don't make sense. Everybody goes through that. And it's just like tough. I remember one time, like at one point my dad was like, hey, let's go take a walk. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I like that. So we just went strolled around the neighborhood and we talked about everything but football, and came back. So like, it was tough, you know? And if I were to advise, I'd say the same thing that I said to that kid this morning, is like, don't watch it. I mean, unless you're in the first round, like don't make a spectacle of it. Just have your phone on you. And get away, because the reality is you have no idea. You're never going to know what they're thinking upstairs. All you can do is kind of control where you're at. So
everybody likes some degree of predictability.
Yeah.
You've had to deal with a lot of uncertainty over the last few months or so. How have you handled that?
You know, really, there's just – you got to get to a point where you kind of just don't care anymore. And let me – before anyone takes that out of context, it's just like, there's only so many things you can control. You know, I said this back in college, but like, you can't waste time and energy on dwelling on things that are rough. And I've been fired like 4 times in the last 2 years. So I got a little experience with the uncertainty, and we all do. I mean, we signed up for it. I mean, it's kind of, it comes with the territory, as they say. So just, you got to have confidence in yourself and have like a degree of realism where you're just ready to not move on. But there's a confidence that comes with that where, you know, I'm just here to enjoy it. You know, I got to stay in the moment. For me, it's a spiritual thing for me too. It's like, if I get too tied up into football is something I do. It's not who I am. Now, it's pretty much all I've done. I've spent a lot of time though, like kind of stepping back and figuring that out. And one thing I do understand is that it is just something that you do. And ultimately, there's a lot more to this world than football. So it's not, and saying that isn't like, oh, I don't need football. Like, I passionately love the game. but there's a fine line between passionately loving it and it being everything that you are, because it's going to let you down every time.
You used a word that I hear players use all the time, but fans almost never say this, and you said fired. And when fans think about football, they think about like, oh, he got cut or he got traded or he got waived, but they never say fired. But I think fans can relate more to fired because most of us have been at some point, but we have never been cut from an NFL team.
Yeah.
How do you handle the firing when, by definition, everyone in that spot has been one of the very best for their whole life?
Yeah, well, a good question. It's just, when you look at it, is how do you handle it? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
I mean, the same, it just goes back to, like, what are you going to do, right? I mean, when I got released, it's like, okay, how much time can I really, it sucks. It's depressing, like legitimately depressing.
Yeah.
But how long can I, like, stay in that? Because just me being depressed about it doesn't help me get another job, right? I mean, I can stay there and just wallow in it, but I'm not going to get anywhere. So you always, like, every time it's happened, it's like I got two choices right now. Just woe is me, sit in despair, blame other people, or take a deep breath and embrace it and move on. And that's the approach. That's what you have to have. It's not just with football. That's just kind of life. As I believe that strongly in life, is you can only dwell on things so much, and it can't be changed. And it's going to, I mean, it doesn't mean it doesn't suck. Sometimes you're going to have to sit there and kind of grit your teeth, right? Like when I got cut this year, I was told I might be brought back on the practice squad. So I was kind of hoping for that. And you know, my wife, bless her, she's very empathetic. And like, she knows, you know, she's got a front row seat to everything that's happening. She knows what I'm going through. So where I get cut, that's tough. But we had a friend's wedding, so it was a very nice distraction that Saturday, this past August. And it was a lot of fun, right? Got to completely just kind of like, you know what? It happened. It's fine. We're going to enjoy y'all's wedding. Celebrate other people. It was awesome. And then the next day, I'm like, okay, I'm expecting a call. They're going to get me on the practice squad. And we go to church and got my Apple Watch. And, you know, you get through a sermon. I'm just kind of checking it. And then we get to, like, to the end, like we get to the worship songs, and I'm like, well, that's definitely it. And like, I already knew. And then I can't remember if it was while I was there or not, but my agent called me and was like, yeah, it's not going to happen. We got to look at our options, right? And my poor wife, I mean, I hope she doesn't get mad at me for sharing this. I'm sure she'll never hear it. Anyway.
Why would you listen to this?
Listen to Landon on a podcast? No, I got better things to do.
Oh, man. But she started breaking down, like, in church. And, like, she's bawling. And I get it, because, like, I have to deal with it directly. Like, I've already had this process.
Right.
Right. I've already had this. She's really just getting into it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm, like, holding it. I'm, like, looking around, and I'm, like, in my head, I'm, and I'm literally, as people are coming up, like, I didn't do this.
Like,
this is not my fault.
Sir, is there anything?
Yeah,
is there some trouble here?
Please, I know I'm in the NFL. I didn't do anything to her, okay? I promise.
Meanwhile, the preacher's like, man, I really connected. That's a powerful message I shared.
Yeah, so it is a difficult thing, but just like anything else, like, what are you going to do? I mean, you can only go forward. I believe that strongly. And even there's times where I'm like, like kind of down, but at the end of the day, you got to make a choice to keep going. You have to.
One more question kind of in this vein, and then we'll move on about something else. Okay. What have you learned about the business of the NFL that maybe no one would know until they get there?
it's pretty cutthroat, and not in the sense that, not like player to player, less so than I thought, honestly. There's a lot of great locker rooms out there, and I only had the New Orleans experience, but I found a very similar experience in Minnesota and in Carolina. I mean, ultimately we're all kind of in the same boat. Like, we're all fighting, I mean, we're fighting for each other's jobs, correct? And ultimately we're going to strive for that, but we're also teammates, you know. So it's more unified in that than you would think. But the business really comes in with the decision makers. You know, there's it really comes down to a lot of things you just don't understand. Like, you don't know. Maybe there's this guy that they see a lot of potential in and they want to keep him, but somebody's got to go for it. And that person might be better, but that's why they let him go. And there's just a lot more of a fit. And, like, to be honest, I don't even know if I can answer that question because there's so much mystique
right
in the upstairs, you know, and there's not a lot of control for us. So it's kind of hard to answer that question, that what people wouldn't know. I mean, people know it's cutthroat. People know. I think logistically, maybe, like, not even the business side, but, like, literally trying to figure out where to live. When you ask me what people don't know, that's kind of what I cling to in that question, is, like, you don't know. Like, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. So what am I going to do for a lease? Like, it's hard sure. to find month-to-month leases in places that are at least reasonable, right? And what do I do? Do I rent furniture? Do I buy furniture? I don't know how long I'm going to be here. And, like, that's the difficult part. That's not even business-related necessarily. But that's what people don't know. It's kind of a logistical nightmare.
I remember I was talking to Ryan Switzer a couple months ago, and he was talking about, you know, he had been traded a couple of times. And he said, that's what people don't get. He said, we had moved our entire life to Oakland. He said, yeah. We had gotten a place. We had finally, you know, it was furnished. We had finally settled down. And then, boom, I was going somewhere else like a week later. He said, he said, you just don't understand the stress. And he said, and we get it, guys make good money and all that stuff. But it's everyday stress that people don't necessarily understand.
There's a lot of human element, like, kind of taken out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think everyone involved is guilty of it. Fans, GMs, coaches, players, you kind of, like, you talk about people in widgets, and, like, that's why I don't like when people boil down the NFL, like, well, it's a business. It's like, yeah, it's a business, but this is different. Like, we're not like selling, like, the product itself is people. Ultimately, like, people are the entertainment product, which makes it different. That's why I don't like when people boil it down to, like, well, it's a business. It's like, yeah, it's a business, but there's, like, a lot at stake for everyone there. It's not just like we're selling a widget. So I don't know. I guess that's what I would share. I agree with Ryan's sentiments. It's definitely a struggle, you know? I mean, in my case, it's like we had to straight up just all of a sudden we kind of made a mistake on the lease because it was like time and I felt pretty confident. And I was like, it was way more expensive to do the month renewal than to do like the 6 month thing. Uh-huh. And I was like, I'm feeling good. I've been playing well. Let's just go for the 6 month. And we'll just get out of it if I can, which obviously was a mistake.
Which,
hindsight's 2020. And, man, it was me and my wife having to pack up our entire apartment in a pod.
Jeez.
By ourselves. Like, it was mid-season. Our friends couldn't help that much because they're working.
Yeah.
and on top of that, like, none of our family are around because we're in New Orleans, so it's just me and my 4'5" wife trying to lift our couch was a nightmare. It's like a sleeper sofa, which I will openly admit I did not want because I know those things are heavy. But she's like, but we want this space. Okay, man, you got it. I lost that battle like many other battles.
How long have y'all known each other, your wife? How long have you known each other?
For a while now, 7 years, which is kind of crazy. We met sophomore year. At UNC, we met kind of not blind double date, but James Hurst and his now wife, they knew each other. And so we all went on a double date and kind of met from there. We happened to be in the same anatomy class, which I always think is funny. It's pretty classic.
It just writes itself.
Yeah. Here's the thing, man. She made me take that class twice. And I openly admit it's openly her fault. I tell her this all the time. I feel like anytime it comes up, because we obviously sat together, which was not a good idea because we did not focus on class. And she ended up dropping it, and then she was like, I'm gonna keep taking it though, so like the next time I take it I'll be more ready. But really, she was just hanging out with me.
No, yeah.
Yeah, it was brutal. So I'm sitting here and like I got football. Like I have a very inflexible schedule because of football. So I'm like, I have to take it. And I was a sport admin major and it was a core class. So I had to get a C. Not a C minus, like a C to pass. And I think I ended up getting like a C minus or something and just being like close, but not like too far. It was brutal. And I had to take the class again.
Not that you hold any resentment about this fact.
None.
That.
None.
The sleeper sofa. The crying in church.
I feel like it's good that you came on with us.
I'm not being fair.
Maybe don't let her know that you're
serious. Don't let her listen to this. Those are all the funny things. She's also been unbelievably supportive, though. I mean, she's followed me everywhere, and it would be a lot harder.
Sure.
All of this, like being cut and not having that support. She's an infrastructure, really, a support infrastructure for me at this point. We're really in it together, so I'm gonna say that on record, and then so that it's a little. Like, I'm not in the doghouse as long. Hopefully, we'll see.
Your time at Carolina was not an easy one for the Tar Heels. There was a lot of transition, a lot of stuff going on. What do you remember about being a front row seat? I'll use your terminology that you used earlier, kind of to all of that was the coaching changes and the turmoil and just everything that was happening around Carolina football.
Yeah, it was kind of wild around then. I'm trying to think. So I had three head coaches, two offensive line coaches, I think maybe three or four strength coaches. Three.
Wow.
I think it's just three. I don't know. You lose track.
Yeah.
There was a lot. There's a lot of transition. That's the best way to put it. I was there for Butch. I came in a year early. So I came – January 2011 was my first time stepping foot on campus. So and Butch was there at the time, and he got fired. All my friends knew he got fired before I did. Like, literally, I'm at home. Like, you know, there's a week left in camp, and like, my friend's like, dude, your coach got fired. I was like, what? And I looked on ESPN. I was like, sure enough. I was like, huh. Yeah, it was crazy. But you know, I haven't had a chance to really speak to Coach Withers in a while. But I think he did a really great job stepping in and just doing what, I mean, there's only so much you can do in a situation like that. And, you got to move on. And again, I couldn't control that. That was my first lesson and you can only control what you can control you know, my coach got fired. The people I came to the university, the very university for, got fired. And we had the new faces and had to just kind of adjust on the fly. So it's interesting because you have to still focus on – it was a great lesson, honestly. Say what you want. I did get something out of it at least. Like, you had to just focus on – what you were going to do. I mean, even the system, like, I'm a bigger offensive lineman, always trying to get small, always. And, you know, we're going from a very pro style to like a spread style. So like, that was kind of stressful. So like, man, am I going to fit still or not? And, you know, you just adjust, you like roll with the punches and go with the flow, I guess. There's no other way to put it.
With the benefit of hindsight, like you mentioned earlier, what happened in 15 that just made it all come together?
So here's the biggest X factor in 15, and I think Jeff Schottmer said it best in his like senior talk, but we had an older team. We had wise team. We had a lot of fifth year seniors and a lot of guys who had seen a lot of different teams. You know, even the year before that was pretty abysmal.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of factors, and just kind of felt fractured. And you know, it was like our first time to like, or our only time really, to just kind of truly steer the ship. And we, you know, Coach Fedora had the program come in, and you know, I think we did some stuff in the pool and a lot of just grueling like team leadership stuff. But I think we did it at a good time, and I think we had the maturity to kind of like grab from that. And we just had a group of leaders that really wanted to leave a legacy at Carolina. And like, it started in January. All of it did. Everything we did was to try and get everyone on board and move forward and just put the best, like literally put our best foot forward, for lack of a better way to put it, I guess. Everything was just, we're going to do this for the team, and we're doing this for the legacy. We're all we have, and we're all we need, type of thing. I think Ryan started something like that, you know. Like, the we got your back thing was kind of the thing that year.
Yeah.
And that's just – that kind of captures where our attitude was. And that's where a lot of the success came, because we were all on the same page. And, like, it doesn't matter what we think of this. We're just going to come together and make it work. And I owe that all the fellow seniors and captains, Mac, Marquise, Shaq, Jeff, all those guys were integral. And I think they're some of the greatest leaders I've been around. And that was the X factor for us that year.
Were there any – I mean, there were a lot of great wins that year. Any memory or two that stands out for you?
Well, when you say that, the first thing that comes to mind is Virginia Tech. That was a pretty wild pretty wild game, and it kind of sealed the ACC Coastal game or championship, excuse me. And I remember it's overtime. We got a score to win, and, like, we're inside the five or something, inside the ten at least, and we call, like, a fade. And I'm like so the game's going to come down to a fade. We got a big old line. We've been running the ball. Like, I was not happy, right? Not to mention, of all things, I'm like – and it was, I can't remember what down it was. I'm not one of those guys. I can't remember all that. But I do remember, like, it was a stressful situation. And I'm like, okay, we're inside a five. I'm in a two-point. Oh, Lord help me. Here we go. And I remember taking the set and just looking at the ball, seeing it float up, and then seeing Quinshaw, like, get up and jump up and get it. And I just sprinted. I'm dead tired. Sprinted straight for him. I think I, like, fell kind of short, though. And I somehow ended up on the bottom of everyone. And it did not feel so hot. But it was a great time, and that's what really matters. And that's one of the things that sticks with me. That was an exciting game for us, for sure.
This is totally changing the subject.
Okay.
We were talking a couple weeks ago. And you said your mom is doing stand-up comedy?
She is. By the way, she wanted me to tell you hello.
Oh, well, thank you. Please tell her.
Yes.
I said, Landon, obviously wonderful family, as you can tell just from hearing him. How in the world did she decide to go this route? That just seems like such a crazy thing to try.
Yeah, well, if you met her, it wouldn't surprise you all that much. So she's held a lot of jobs. I think she got her degree in exercise physiology. I should probably know that, but she got her
just
degree.
Right, just say it confidently.
She went to West Virginia, okay? That's what I do now. And she, like, worked in some places, and she did, like, Amway for a little bit, and what else did she do? She was the fitness director, maybe, at a retirement community.
Nice.
In Harrisonburg, back home. So she's done a lot of different things, but she really always wanted to be an actress. And there was some kind of drama, because what actress doesn't have drama? It's probably good for her. And she just didn't get into the acting school at West Virginia, and then kind of just let it die from there. This is how she explained it to me. It's like, well, I'm here chasing my dreams to go in the NFL, and she's like, I'm gone. There's no other. I was the only child. I'm my only child. So she's like, well, what am I going to do with my time? You know, my stepdad does really well. She's well supported for it, or well provided for it, and she's like, I'm going to chase my dream again. So she just did it. Like, that's the best way to put it. She just, like, I'm just going into acting. So she just went full-fledged into acting. And she was an extra on House of Cards.
Oh, cool.
For a couple episodes. She did some stuff with Turn. A lot of work in Baltimore, because she's based in Virginia, obviously, which was, like, a challenge because it's hard to be an actress in a small town.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're kind of ingrained there. But she did what she could with it, and she did some voiceover stuff. And then I think she took, like, a class just for, like, fun in D.C., like a stand-up comedy class, and then ended up loving it. And now she's, like, I mean, she went full into acting. She went even deeper. She high-dived into comedy. So, like, she does shows at a brewery, at a local brewery.
Have you gone to any of her shows?
I have.
I bet she gets no heckling.
No. Does that make you – are you more nervous, like, watching her, or are you more nervous for yourself when you're out there on the field or something?
I'm probably more nervous than I am on the field because she's a boss. I'm a little biased, I'll admit, right? But, like, she just gets up there and kills it. I'm like, because it's not easy. It's not easy.
No.
Have you ever tried to tell
– No, I've
– Even telling jokes, like, in this circle is, like, it's not easy. You're
no,
like,
I would – it would be one of my worst – I would hate – like, I don't mind speaking in front of people, but going up there and, like, trying to actively tell jokes, I don't think I can do it.
Yeah, and it's impressive. So – she's got a really good set. I've had the benefit because I saw her when she was in that class when she was first starting to get into it, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. And, like, obviously I'm always going to think she's good, but objectively, like, it was solid, and I've just seen her grow a lot, you know, and that's been really impressive and fun to watch.
Yeah.
And to the point where she's like kind of a local celebrity now.
That's cool.
She does these shows every month. And she, like, her whole bit, she's, like, really into – she's clean comedy, and she wants to – which is good for a rural Virginia area. It's a very good niche. Right? There's a big market for it, big small market. And so she, like, kind of just embraces that, and she has people come in, and she's, like, looking to kind of expand in that role, and she's putting some stuff together. It's really impressive, inspiring even. You know, I mean, she just turned 50 this year, and she's – just as gung-ho. She's doing a new thing, and it doesn't really seem to scare at all.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's really awesome.
I remember two unique things about you when you were here. Mm. One, you were a big reader. Mm. Have you read anything good lately?
Okay, full disclosure, I probably haven't read as much as I should.
That's okay, just make up stuff.
Yeah, no. I do still read, though. I do still read. I read a very interesting book called Startup Nation about the Israelis and how successful they are at being entrepreneurs and starting up despite being such a small and always on the defense country, right? And
smarter than what I would read.
A little heavier than my choice of reading.
So there was that. I'm reading Give and Take right now. And I say reading because I'm kind of put it down for another book. I'm reading a Robert Kiyosaki book. I'm kind of all over the place. I'm a little ADD with my reading.
I can't land. You know, I haven't been reading very much, but here are the 87 books that I am reading right now.
it's not much more than that, though.
But you were big into Chronicles of Narnia in high school, weren't you? Like that.
Yeah,
those were influential to you.
Yeah, I did read all those. Well, C.S. Lewis was. I actually ended up picking up an English major. Which
man, that won't get you anywhere.
No. Wow.
Next thing you know, you'll be sitting next to a urinal hosting a podcast.
Nah. Come on, it's better than that. It's a little dangerous though, because like now that I say that, I kind of have to back it up.
And
they're like, well, everyone comes at me like as if they have like grammar questions. If I bring that up, like worried about that, because like, dog, I don't know. it was comparative literature. Okay, literary analysis, I'm in there for that. All right, don't come at me with the technical stuff.
Yeah,
you know what you got to say. Yeah. This is what I say to my kids all the time. Hmm. You've got to figure out what works for you.
Yeah,
and that makes it sound like you know, but you don't want to tell them.
Yeah.
And then just let them figure it out. But in reality, you don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I always say. You've got to figure out what works for you.
Yeah, I like the reading though.
The other thing, though, is you're a big gamer.
Yeah.
Are you still a big gamer?
Oh, am I?
So what are you playing right now?
What am I not playing, man? My friends give me a really hard time for this. I always have been. The hours that I put into some games like Destiny and Battlefield is a point of laughter for me and in group still to this day. I play way too much. Right now I'm playing like Apex Legends. Picked up Fallout 4 because I never finished it. I play Siege. I play everything. It's a ridiculous amount. It's probably unhealthy. And there's a direct correlation with how many games I'm playing in the stagnation of my reading.
Those two things go together.
I need to reevaluate my ratio a little bit. But it's been fun. Like it's one of my biggest hobbies. I love playing games. I always have. It really dates back to way back in the day. When I was like younger, my dad and I would play Twisted Metal on PlayStation 1.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good time. And we just kind of bonded over that. And he always played, he was a big Tomb Raider fan. He still plays today, by the way. Nice. He's like 54.
So young.
He's 50 something.
Does he have an updated? Yeah. Is he still on the PlayStation 1 or
no?
Does he?
he's got the PlayStation 4. He's played. You know, I bought every birthday and Christmas. Like for the last 3 or 4 years, I have bought him a video game. Yeah,
hey,
he's still into it.
It's great to know what somebody likes because then gift buying is easy.
Well, he also lets me know. I was like, hey.
Hey, I need that newest version of
you see that new Tomb Raider coming out? Okay, Dad. I got it. So that's usually what and my stepmom will text me for like suggestions about what to get him and all that. So it kind of runs in the family, I guess. Gaming.
Do you play sports football games or just
I hate sports games.
Really?
Yeah. They're so boring. They really are. It's too repetitive for me. I could play FIFA Kind of. I kind of rage with it, to be honest. I hate getting beat. I'm so competitive. I actually lost to it. So I play a lot of games, okay? And because of that, you would think I'd be somewhat decent. And, like, maybe I am, but probably not as good as I should be with the amount that of hours. Because they say 10,000 hours you're supposed to master something. I question that. And I remember Russell Bodine, who does not play games. He played center here.
Right.
And one time, because we live, I was me, Russell, James, Nelson, and I think it was the four of us at that time. We had some other guys live with us every once in a while out in Carrboro. And I'd gotten into FIFA again. And I was like, kind of on the tear, and I played like
Tear of the summer of 12. Yeah, I remember it well.
Something like that, dude. This guy beat me, and like I got so upset, I just tossed my copy out into the hallway, and it sat there for like 6 months. It was out there forever, and it still comes up, and I haven't lived that one. I haven't lived that one down. So not big into the sports games, you know. So, but I do play a lot of the first person shooter. I love story games. I think it's the English major in me that likes a good narrative.
Did you get into Fortnite?
I did.
Are you still into Fortnite?
I am not still into Fortnite. I let it go. Apex is better to me.
I saw the poster, underrated all-time Carolina poster of Landon wearing the chef outfit.
Oh, with the pancakes.
With the pancakes.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
How many – do you have any copies of this poster? Do people ever still remind you of this poster other than us right now?
Okay, so let me tell you something about that poster. I had, like – shout out Kevin Best, man. Appreciate you for that idea. Not really. It was like an Outland promo thing, and I was about it. It was fine.
Why wouldn't you be? You got pancakes all around you.
I'm just not big in the – I don't like to gas myself up, and y'all know that. I mean, I think some people might know that. For all listening, I don't like to gas myself up, man. So I wanted to take the picture and like didn't really want it to like end up anywhere.
I'll just take this picture as a chef, well, but I don't ever want to see it again.
You know, it was in hindsight again, 2020. But that thing ended up in the fourth floor. Everywhere. It was in the set. It was in the offensive line room. It was in like three different places on the fourth floor, and like thank goodness they finally took it down. And I got a Snapchat. So like we keep in touch. A lot of guys from the team keep in touch, and I'm in like a Snapchat group with guys like Lucas Crowley, Shaquille Rashad, Jeff Schottmer. I got a Snapchat from either Jeff or Shaq on a weekly basis of that freaking picture. And at every turn, they gassed me for it. My friend group, you know, it's very interesting that you make fun of people for success. it's kind of backwards, you know, like the more successful you are, it's like, make fun of this man. You know, it's not even like a knock him down a peg, but it's just like, that is what we make. Not make fun of each other for like any like mishaps or misgivings. It's like, oh, you're all ACC? Big deal. Big guy over here. I don't know. It's kind of backwards. I don't know. We have fun with it, though.
Did an opponent ever mention that picture to you?
No, fortunately. I don't think anyone's like reaching back and caring anymore.
Do you have a copy of the poster?
Yeah, I do. Well, I can't just let it go.
Right.
It's 4 feet by six feet, and it's over the couch.
They finally got it. Like Shaq, got rid of them all. Thank goodness. And Shaq grabbed one and asked me if I wanted it. And I was like, well, I'm not going to say no.
Sure.
Yeah. My wife also has a copy, I think, back home at her parents' place. So yeah, I there's one sitting there. It's in my like gaming room setup with the TV. I haven't like hung it up because I don't want to. But
it's out there with FIFA on the floor in the hallway.
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah. It's in the corner with FIFA.
So, obviously, a large majority of your time here, you were with Larry Fedora.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Fedora is no longer the head coach here at Carolina. How do you balance being a Larry Fedora player, being a Carolina football player? I know you've been around the program at least a little bit here recently. Kind of what is that relationship like now that the person who you played – a majority of your time with is no longer there.
Well, chief among it is a Carolina player. I mean, I'd been through a coaching transition already, and much like then, I mean, I could have transferred when he left. When your coach gets fired, I'm pretty sure I could have just transferred and gone to a new school. And I can't remember if the NCAA has a deal or not because I don't pay attention. But like basically, I could have left, but I didn't because I did come for. I mean, a large part of the recruiting was the coaches, but the selling point was Chapel Hill. So that'll always be chief among that for me. And I know it is. I won't speak for everyone, but that's pretty common. I mean, you can go on. You can ask athletes and students alike. They'll tell you the same thing. I mean, Chapel Hill is the ultimate draw. I mean,
right.
People. That's why people come back. That's why I'm still trying to live around here. I don't want to go too far away. So that's the overarching like theme, and then everything else kind of falls underneath that. And like, you know, I just like anyone else, any other coach, like I got differences with Larry. I didn't agree with everything, but you know, he worked hard. But my identity's not tied into him as a coach. And I appreciate the work he did here, and like we worked hard for under his system, and it was a good. We had good years. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with it, and just like NFL, and sometimes you got to move on, and there's nothing he can do about it. We can do about it. He didn't make the decision, so that's my answer. I mean, Larry's still like he'll always be one of my coaches, but that's not like the identity as a player, at least here, isn't wrapped up in like I'm a Larry guy or a Bush guy. It's a Carolina guy. That's the key.
As we have established, you were a senior in 15.
Mm-hmm.
And it really felt like things were taking off in 15. Like it felt like that was the first step on the way to something that was going to be consistently that big. So I know you weren't here and you didn't have a direct hand in what happened after that. But why do you think it didn't take off?
That's tough. I mean, all I can do is speculate. Because although I had a lot of friends on that team, not in the sense that you're not welcome, but if you're not in the locker room every day, you don't truly know what's going on. I don't want to answer that necessarily because I wasn't there. So like, who knows? I watched it every week, and the highlight of that year being beating Florida State. That was a lot of fun. I was actually in a hotel room, got to see Nick Weiler's kick, and I'm pretty sure the whole floor heard me out. I'm not really sure, other than you know who, like they would know and I don't. So I don't want to like speculate. To be honest, I don't think that's for me to say necessarily. I think the X factor in all college football just generally is experience and leadership, because if you think about it, you got like a wide range of mental thought, like of maturity, not mental, but like wide range of maturity on a college football team, much more so than the NFL and even like high school. Because even high school, most of your team's made up of juniors and seniors who are all kind of in the same walk or the same like path of life, season, a better way to put it. They're all in the same season. In college, you got these 17, 18-year-olds and then these 21, 22-year-olds. And although it's like a four-year difference, their mindsets are entirely different. And if you don't have like a strong, like it's a really strong leadership, not to say that you don't have it, but you need to have strong leadership to kind of maybe bridge the gap between those and get everyone like focused, right? And understanding that this is the team. You have to have older guys bringing along the younger guys. You have to have younger guys bold enough to be emboldened enough to stand up and be like, this is where we want to be. And that it kind of feeds into, because you're going to need a couple older guys to be like, this is the standard for those younger guys to have the strength to be like, to check other teams. It trickles down. It's kind of like a domino effect with leadership. It's from what I observed. And I think we experienced that my senior year. It's like the fifth years is like, this is the standard. This is what we're going for. And everything we do either helps that or we're not doing it.
That interview with Landon Turner brought to you by our presenting sponsor here on the pod. That's AT&T, a proud supporter of Carolina Athletics. More for your thing. That is our thing at AT&T. A reminder that the UNC Office of Communication has the website, unc.edu. And all you have to do is head to that website. You can see the impact Tar Heels make every day in North Carolina. Learn more about what's happening in Chapel Hill through unc.edu. UNC Healthcare, My UNC Chart, Know Your Stats feature brought to you by My UNC Chart. You can visit myuncchart.org to sign up. And Adam, while I don't have a specific stat for this, we were mentioning Ed Davis earlier, and he is one of a bunch of Tar Heels competing in the NBA playoffs. Ed Davis and Theo Pinson, both with the Nets. Wayne Ellington is in the playoffs with the Pistons. Several other Tar Heels involved as well as they start going through NBA postseason. And so we certainly wish all those guys, Danny Green with the Raptors, certainly wish all those guys the best as they try to make things happen on the pro level.
I thought it was so interesting. I saw a graphic somewhere that I think UNC basketball had put out about Tar Heels who were in the playoffs. Every single one of them had won a national championship.
Mm, really?
That's pretty strong.
Yeah, that is pretty strong. So we wish the best of luck to all those guys and kind of a topsy-turvy start to the NBA playoffs. Adam, I know you have your finger on the pulse of the playoffs. So,
you know who did not look good? The Detroit Pistons.
No, unfortunately.
I saw part of that game, and, I mean, it was like doing one of those Tuesday baseball games where Carolina's a million runs better than whoever they're playing.
Yeah.
And you're into, like, your stuff you didn't think you would use in the second inning. You could tell that's how these announcers were. It was a hashtag grind for them.
Tony Bradley with the Jazz. Raymond Felt with the Thunder also competing in the NBA playoffs. Raymond played a bunch, actually, in the Thunder game the other day. So best of luck to all those guys as they go through their NBA playoff run. And finally, a lot of golf this weekend. A little earlier than Adam was anticipating on Sunday.
Yeah, that was tricky.
But beneath the longleaf pines in the heart of North Carolina, a place where that wonderful game of golf is more than just a game. It is a way of life. A place with more courses than days of the week, more championships than anywhere in America. We all know that this place is Pinehurst and that it is waiting for you.
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
Okay, a quick what up to start off the list. Do you have a what up?
I have a what up, which I will follow your what up with.
Okay. My what up is to our friend Bob Ward, pod listener.
Oh, yeah.
Smith Center usher extraordinaire, basketball museum guide expert. He was on the front page of the Daily Tar Heel this weekend or Friday. I saw it this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And a great story about him and just how nice he is because he is so nice.
Super nice.
And an awesome story within that story about how his daughter met someone who had been named for her, and they never knew she was named for her until like 25 years later, he randomly met this person at the basketball museum.
Wow.
That was it was like the tail end of the story, but it was an awesome story. Like it was story time, potty worthy story. So what up to Bob Ward? It's nice when nice people are recognized for being nice.
Oh, well, Adam, my what up kind of dovetails off that. So the reason that I could not be at the spring game is I was hosting, well, not even hosting. I was the keynote speaker on.
At a graduation.
Not yet. Come on now. On Saturday night for a Sports Hall of Fame banquet in Graham, North Carolina, just down the road, 35 minutes or so down the road. And I've been committed to do this for literally 11 or 12 months. And so I didn't feel like I could back out on them and be a part of the Watch ESPN broadcast for spring game, although obviously I would have liked to have been there. But I will say that I enjoyed being a part of this event, and I rarely leave an event and go, boy, I hate doing that. It was, you know, most people are nice, and generally these are fun events. But I would say that this was what I really took away from this event – is that there – Graham is a pretty small town.
Yeah, I like Graham.
But there is a lot of community pride in Graham. And I think it's a nice – there's a ton of Grahams in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a nice reminder of what a part of our state is about. And there's some big parts of our state. You know, the Triangle is getting huge and diverse, and I don't mean racially diverse. I mean diverse as far as the types of people and the types of things that are happening in the Triangle. Of course, we know Charlotte's huge. You know, Wilmington's getting big. I mean, so there's some big parts of North Carolina, but there's also a ton of these Grahams that make up our state. And I wanted to give my what up to one of the people who's going in the Hall of Fame. Now, there was the Hall of Fame and then the Hall of Honor.
Hmm.
And so there were four folks going in to the Hall of Fame. One of them was actually a team, which, by the way, the Graham women's basketball team, Adam, went to the state championship three straight years, came the runner-up all 3 years, which obviously is a bummer. But they were 91-8 in those three seasons, 2007, 08, 09. So that was... They went in as a group. There were three individuals went in a group, and then two individuals that went in the Hall of Honor. I'm getting to my point. I want to give my what up to a gentleman named George Dillard, who went into the Hall of Honor in Graham, North Carolina. So why? First of all, George, a big-time Tar Heel fan. Big-time Tar Heel fan. Loves the Tar Heels. And it was interesting because most people, as you would expect, that go into these Hall of Honors, Hall of Fames, are athletes or coaches. George actually was neither. He went in because of just his dedication to athletics in the community for so many years. And whether that was paying for somebody to go to a summer camp but not telling anybody that he did it, or whether that was allowing people to come and from the high school, from the football team or something, and get supplies from his drugstore, and then he would just – he'd figure out the bill for it, and whatever it was, he wanted to do something to help out. And what I thought was really cool is, first of all, the name of his drugstore is Tar Heel Drug. I don't know if he's still running the shop or not. But so he got up, and it was clearly very emotional for him. But he said something that I thought was really neat, and that really summed it up nicely. He said, "I did what I did for three reasons," which I think we can all appreciate. He said, "I love this community. I love athletics and what they can teach, and I love young people." And I just thought that was a really good message. And that is something that I think we can all appreciate, and that is part of what makes towns like Graham, which make up a big part of North Carolina, pretty cool.
Huh.
So what up, George? I'm sure he's a pod listener.
If not, I bet he is now. That was good.
No, it was – I enjoyed the event again. There were so many people who took pride in Graham.
Right.
And, I mean, I know Graham. It's right down the road. I've been there before, but I don't know the fiber of the community because I don't live there. But these people very much were within the fiber of the community, and it was a nice event.
I like calling North Carolina home.
Yeah, that's right. From the mountains to the beaches,
yeah,
and everywhere in between.
Yeah.
And I will also say, while I'm on Graham, well, what up to Graham? They've revitalized their downtown
area.
Their
downtown's nice.
You got a neat little main street there with a lot of new kind of local businesses,
yep,
and shops and restaurants and bars and just kind of cool stuff down there. And they've done a nice job.
You know what's right down the road is Smitty's. Big Tar Heel fans down there.
That's right. Up, Graham.
This North Carolina Travel Corner is brought to you by the Graham Department of Commerce.
Tar Heel Traveler.
Watch out, Bill Leslie.
Yeah, that's right. Bill, we need you to go to Graham right now. Get us an update.
I bet he did at some point. I bet he did a Tar Heel Traveler.
I bet
in
he did.
Okay, now, back to the list. Are there results for the Roadhouse Challenge?
Yes. So, Adam and I are going to do a Roadhouse Challenge. Are we going to do it the later second show this week? Should we just?
Are we?
Should we commit? Once you say it on air, Adam, it's nowhere else to go.
Yeah, there is no going back. That's 100% sure. I mean, yeah, I guess.
Well, with that kind of commitment, Adam, I don't know how we can go anywhere
else.
Are
you going to have time? Because you know we got stuff to do Wednesday night.
That's right. No, we'll have time.
Okay. What about between now and next Friday?
Yeah. We – in the next couple of pods, maybe as early as this Friday,
right,
we'll have a Roadhouse Challenge.
Yeah.
Okay. So our three runners up again, Adam.
Yeah.
Who are sitting there in the Price is Right lane.
They're on Contestants Row with that sad look on their face.
Over the top Tremors and Bloodsport just can't get out of each other's way.
No.
And we had a couple people are like, you need to reshuffle the deck. No, that's not the rules of the Roadhouse Challenge.
I feel like we almost need to throw out a bad one as the next fourth one.
Yeah.
Just so one of them can move up.
Yeah. But so, again, coming out of the crowd, joining Contestants Row and winning on the very first try with 45% of the vote in a four-way vote, Days of Thunder.
Robin's racing.
I have seen Days of Thunder before, but it's been a long time since I've seen it.
It's so good.
I have a general memory of what it's about, but I will say I believe this is going to be a pleasure to go through the Roadhouse Challenge.
Let me out of the car, Cole.
Wow, you already know a lot. I could have said Rubin's racing and passed that. That's about it.
Robert Duvall's in this, and
Nicole
he
Kidman.
Is at peak
yep.
Robert Duvall.
Yep. Nicole Kidman, Robert Duvall, of course, our boy Tom Cruise. So it'll be fun. So that's
the guy who's in the movies with Will Ferrell.
Is he in it?
I think so.
So we are looking forward to that. Coming soon.
I am looking forward
Roadhouse
to that.
Roadhouse Challenge. Roadhouse.
We have not yet mentioned, I don't think, the ACC Barnstorming Tour, but we should tell people it's occurring.
Yep.
Because as of today, Tuesday, there are three dates left, and they might be coming close to you. But you won't know unless you check CarolinaBarnstorming.com. That'll tell you where it's going. I think maybe tonight it's at East Duplin, but don't 100% hold me to that. So that's Beulahville, right?
Oh, yeah. What'd you say? It's Beulahville.
Beulahville.
Not Beulahville. It's not beautiful like you're the...
It is to me.
No.
I just said I like calling North Carolina home.
No, you're saying it wrong.
What?
Beulahville.
Beulahville.
There you go. It's not Beulahville.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how I've always said it.
No, you're adding extra...
How do you know?
Adam. I know. You're adding a syllable.
Are you sure? That's how the locals say it?
Beulahville.
That's how they say it. Not yeah. Beulahville.
No, stop. Beulahville.
Huh. Okay. Well, if you'd like to go see a barnstorm in whatever the name of the town is, it really is fun. Luke May's doing it. Kenny Williams is doing it. Cam Johnson's doing it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think so. Torn Dorn maybe from State.
Yeah. I doubt Duke has any seniors, so probably no Duke guys.
Zion Williams is doing it.
Yeah, well, he's coming back for a sophomore year. Phil Ford's the coach, I believe. And so it's a great opportunity to see him in just a little more casual light and in some towns that really get excited about it, such as Beulahville.
There you go.
Yeah.
I remember when they came to Jacksonville one time,
mm-hmm.
and Brad Doherty was there mm-hmm. once. And I remember I probably told this story on the pod before, but, you know, you got Brad Doherty, who, of course, no big deal, ended up being the number one in the NBA draft, number one pick in the draft that year. But he had the ball, and a gentleman who was, like, in the Rotary Club or something, who was, like, 5'8", was guarding him, you know, hilarious.
So tall.
Yeah. So, oh, well, yeah. So hilarious, a visual, of course. I remember Scott Williams came the year that he was a senior. And some others. That's always fun.
I saw Michael Jordan in the barnstorming.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, we didn't know it then, but yeah, it was.
Yeah. Did you get his autograph and then tear it up because you were so mad
your
brother?
I did get his autograph at the barnstorming thing, but I did not tear it up. I treasured it, and I can tell you where it is right now.
Nice.
Because some of us take care of our stuff. Boy, we got a lot of stats on the current pollen situation.
Mm.
People are very upset about the pollen, and I'm not just talking about Coach Tim Cross,
yeah.
who, as he's correctly and 100% accurately summed up, the allergies are tragic.
Yeah.
And so John Howes sent us the stats. The pollen count, this was last week when it was so bad, was the second highest since 2002.
I believe it.
That's terrible. And then Jordan Davis sent us a Palmageddon video of pollen over Durham, and it was that day where it was just a haze of pollen clouds.
Yeah.
And it, like, just watching the video made you sneeze. So it certainly has rained a lot, but it's washed away the pollen, and I support that. Now, speaking of things that a lot of people sent us, we got a lot. I asked my wife if she was proud that she had married someone who, when people see an article with the following headline, the first thing they think is to send it to the pod. This was the headline on WBTV.com. Woman does karate, son gets nude, dog steals cornbread mix from Walmart, police say.
That is an all-timer.
When they wrote that headline, they just went home for the day.
Yeah.
Guys, I can't do any better than this. I have guaranteed that if you see that headline and don't click on it, something's wrong with you. So let me tell you what happened. It wasn't in Charlotte, even though this is on WBTV.com, because the nice people of Charlotte probably wouldn't be mixed up with something like this. I don't know how to pronounce this town either. Eau Claire, Wisconsin? E-A-U? Eau Claire?
Sure.
You all right with that?
Yeah.
Beulahville.
Beulahville.
Gosh, I'll work on it. Eau Claire, Wisconsin. A mother and her son are in custody after causing a ruckus at a Walmart Wednesday night, police said. Their dog chipped in, too. I'm just reading exactly what's on this page. The Eau Claire Police Department identified 46-year-old Lisa Smith and her 25-year-old son, Benny Van, as the suspects. Investigators said the dog is named Bo. Responding officers said they found Smith yelling in the doorway, trying to summon Bo. Smith allegedly brought Bo into the store without a leash. So Bo easily ditched his owner and started running up to unsuspecting customers. While Bo was doing that, Smith, that's not the dog, that's the woman, began tearing apart store displays and placing them in her shopping cart, police said. Walmart staff asked her to leave, and she complied. Police said she left the store to perform karate moves in the parking lot.
As you do.
Yeah, well, once you're done tearing down the store displays and putting them in your cart, you're like, I'm going to go do the crane kick in the parking lot. Bo, on the other hand, had not been brought to heel. By the time anyone found him, he was on his way out of the store with a box of Jiffy cornbread muffin mix in his mouth. Police arrested Smith, but it wasn't without a fight. This is the woman again, not Bo the dog with the Jiffy cornbread muffin mix.
She had just been practicing karate.
She allegedly kicked out a patrol car window when they finally got her in custody.
Well, yeah.
And then she was like,
karate.
And bring me some 2x4s as well. I can chop right through those suckers. Meanwhile, police said Van, again, that's the son, was running amok inside the store. He allegedly took off all of his clothes in the rear of the Walmart and exposed himself to everyone around him.
I mean, I know the answer to this. It's amazing how many people decide at this moment of truth where they know that they're caught. It's like, well, really nothing else to do now. I'm just getting naked. It's gone this far, poorly. It's this bad. I may as well just get naked.
Do you think the mom and the son discussed this on their way in? Like, all right,
I'm sure there's a real coherent conversation going on.
You go out into the parking lot, perform karate moves. I'm going to go in the back in the men's clothing aisle and take off all my clothes.
Yeah.
And Bo, you get the Jiffy cornbread muffin mix and you hightail it out of here.
Foolproof plan.
Fortunately for them, he tried to cover himself by putting on the clothes Walmart had on the racks. Maybe not the best plan. Like, I'm going to take off my clothes. I'm going to put on these clothes that don't belong to me. Even so, police said he didn't try to purchase them, so that is also a crime.
Just add it to the list.
Officers approached and commanded him to end the madness, but he refused.
I hope that's the actual term they used.
Mr. Van.
Van, in the madness, sir.
I decline.
The dog has the cornbread. Your mom is doing karate in this madness.
But what an appropriate word for what was going on at the Walmart. Like, if you saw all this and called someone, you'd be like, I just saw some madness.
This is madness.
But when they told him to end the madness, a slightly unexpected turn, authorities said Van even used a scooter in an attempt to run over an officer.
It's like the Footloose scene where the two tractors are coming at each other at 2 miles an hour.
Law enforcement physically stopped the scooter and took him into custody. Van faces...
Yeah, the hover round isn't exactly coming at you at a million miles an hour.
Hey, Bernice and Joy, tell everyone which power wheelchair got you to the Grand Canyon.
Hover round! Now I'm free to see the world.
Van faces a few charges. Smith faces a few charges. Bo, however, was not charged.
That's good.
Police issued him a warning for the theft. I bet if Bo got taken to the shelter, he was like, whew, guys, you ain't going to believe this. I was trying to get the muffin mix.
Oh, gracious.
What? Did you see the picture of these folks who committed this crime?
I did.
So if I told you that that was the woman that was doing karate, you would not be surprised.
I would not be.
I don't think that's the first time she's done karate in the parking lot. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Okay. I thought this was a really good and useful actual thing for our lives. Ed Lee sent in this stat about coaches. Did you see this? Seems like no. Ed writes, "Hi, Adam and Jones."
Hi, Ed.
His wife is Candace Morgan. You know Candace Morgan.
I did see this.
She's of the how can you justify that is too long, as Ed says, quote unquote, fame.
Yeah.
He was engaged in a conversation with Candace about who the best coach in America might be in the wake of UVA's win yoder. Ed had the gall to suggest that Bennett was a legit candidate for that honor. So Ed's a little bit on the outs already. After enduring Candace's profanity-laced attack on my intelligence,
yeah,
Ed came across this stat.
Look, I don't agree with every single one of Candace's opinions, but this one I can get behind.
In this case, she's right on. Since 2000, Roy Williams is number one among all coaches in NCAA tournament performance against KenPom expectations. So Ken Pomeroy, the stats guy who has a lot of good stats, number one in tourney performance against what KenPom would expect him to do. And number three in seeding expectations, behind only Tom Izzo and John Calipari. Tony Bennett, on the other hand, is 373 out of 374, even counting 2019. That surprises me. There's another ACC coach at 346. So I thought that was a good stat.
Yep. I wonder what the KenPom expectations for the pod are.
Low. About as low as madness at the Walmart. Chip Gerken sent us an excellent picture. Chip lives in Virginia, evidently. And so they had taken a picture at his kid's school. I'm thinking maybe after Virginia won it or maybe the day they were playing in the championship game. And all the kids were decked out in their finest Virginia gear. But then there was Chip's proud offspring wearing Carolina duds and a sad face.
Yeah.
But still wearing the Carolina duds.
Good job. I'm going to call him CJ, Chip Jr. Good job, CJ.
Yeah. Chip Jr.'s going somewhere. He's not giving in to that peer pressure.
No.
Look, all you people dress up like Cavaliers if you want to. I'm wearing my Tar Heel stuff, and you can't make me. That's good parenting also. Good job, Chip. We discussed this off air, but I've been thinking about it as we've been talking, and now I'm starting to wonder if this should be the case.
Okay.
Should we trademark See You Later, Big Grits? You know how Darren Revelle always tweets about how people trademark weird things?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we should trademark See You Later, Big Grits so no one steals it out from under us.
Yeah. I had a weird dream that SportsCenter had stolen See You Later, Big Grits and was using it on like a top 10 list, and they did it every day where people would do See You Later, Big Grits. And it got me thinking. And you know how you kind of – when you wake up and you have that moment of, wait, was that true? Is that not true? I was like, because I got a great how can you justify that? And then I was like, wait, that didn't actually happen. I can't do that.
I mean, I could, but it wouldn't be truthful.
Right. So, something to think about. We've already got the Tar Heel song memory lane list.
DM.
Trademarked.
Yeah. If you're a trademark and or patent attorney.
Yeah. Let us know.
We might need
how much that cost? How much would it cost for us to double it up?
Yeah. And but then think about how much value the pods added to your life.
Right.
And subtract that from the cost. So it would probably just be the cost.
Yeah. That's right. So then really no math required.
Something minus zero is something. Even I know that. Whew. A lot on the list today.
Okay. I want to quickly burn through one email, and then we're going to get to other people's Tar Heel song memory lane list.
Deal.
Jay Exum.
This was a good email.
Sent us a very detailed email about Seersucker. And if you don't know the Seersucker situation, the Triple S, I will be speaking. I am the keynote speaker at a high school graduation coming up in June. But it's outside in June, and it's going to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have discussed as to whether or not I need to purchase a Seersucker suit for this occasion.
Mm-hmm.
So Jay sent us a long email about giving me some guidance about Seersucker.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the last thing he says is, every new initiate into the select society needs a mentor. So I'm offering you this guidance as you head into this brave and glorious new world. Jay is serious about the Seersucker situation. He said, things to know if you're going to wear Seersucker. Number one, Seersucker is awesome. There's nothing better in the summer heat if you have to wear a suit. Lightweight. It breathes, it's festive, and if you haven't noticed, it allows you to wear UNC colors. He says, number two, commit to it. Despite the above, you don't see a Seersucker suit every day. That's true. People are going to notice, and some of them are going to comment. Within hours, someone is going to suggest that you change your nickname to Matlock. For reasons I cannot explain, you are also likely to get cracks relating to Colonel Sanders. He says, embrace it, laugh, come up with your own jokes. That's the best defense,
right.
Adam, is an offense.
Yeah, diffuse it with your self-deprecation.
Yeah. He says it's well worth it. Now, this is when it starts getting really into it. He says, accessorize carefully. You can go bow tie or regular tie. You do have some belt flexibility, he says, but don't overdo it because, let's be honest, if you've already gone the Seersucker, I don't know how much more you need to add to
right.
the ensemble,
yeah.
is Jay's point.
You don't need to catch anyone else's eye. You've already done it.
Right. Then he says, which I honestly had not thought about.
No, I hadn't thought of this either.
He says, shoes.
Yeah.
They're hardcore Seersucker people who think that you're not really wearing Seersucker unless you wear a pair of white Bucks. They have a case, but in Jay's opinion, there's flexibility on that. He says, if that one item puts it over the top to the point of dissuading you from the whole idea, just skip it, go with a pair of brown loafers, and you'll be okay.
What would you do? I mean, what will you be doing when you're wearing your Seersucker? What kind of shoes are you going to wear?
I would go brown, I think.
I think so, too. I hadn't thought of this, but then I got the mental image of me in the Seersucker and the white shoes. That didn't look right.
I can't wear white shoes.
Yeah, that didn't look right.
Jay, thank you. These are a lot of points to think about. But here's the rub, Adam, on the Seersucker suit. Like, if I had it,
right.
there's no doubt I would wear it. But I don't have one. So I've got to really make the full move here. I have to get one if I'm going to do it.
You can't tell me there's not someone listening who couldn't make that happen. What about a hat?
Adam, did you not hear point four?
Oh, that's right. Don't over-accessorize.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was getting carried away.
Accessorize yeah. conservatively.
Okay.
All right. Let's get to some of these Tar Heel song memory lane lists, which, by the way, went back and listened to that portion of the pod.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good time with that.
Yeah.
Despite your foul language. Adriana Sidlinger sends one in and says, as hard as it may be for you youngins to believe, her favorite memory song is Another One Bites the Dust. He said, she said that was brings her back to the Dick Crum glory days of the early 1980s. Sean Patrizzi, he mentioned the Hell's Bells Can't Be Touched combo. Sean says a couple more for me are House Party by Jay Giles Band. Wait, Giles or Giles? Giles.
Well, we all know I wouldn't know.
Yeah. It was the college game day song for the 08-09 season. So he says he remembers watching that every Saturday morning and that song coming on. He said the newest to the list is Blessings by Chance the Rapper. Of course, the amazing video after the 2017 National Championship showed the full emotion of the team after receiving true redemption. Dusty Tompkins sent one in. During the 05 season, he used his TiVo to record Tario games and match the video with Woody. But not sourced from WBT, but instead from the Greensboro Tar Heel Sports Network affiliate because it was FM and came in very well at his house in Charlotte. So when he went to watch the game against Duke later that evening, it went completely silent on his recording. To fill the dead air, the Greensboro station randomly selected to play Supertramp's Take the Long Way Home until the play-by-play broadcast reconvened. The day of the Villanova regional semifinal, he heard that song again on the bumper rotation of a local talk show, and of course the Tar Heels won. For the national championship game, his brother and Dusty journeyed to Chapel Hill to watch the game in the Smith Center. They were on a breakneck pace to get there in time, so they stopped quickly at a restaurant not named Cookout to grab a burrito. While waiting in line, guess what song came on, Adam? Take the Long Way Home. So Supertramp's Take the Long Way Home immediately sparks fond memories for Dusty Tompkins, as you can imagine. One more. Joseph Cadell sent this one in, our good friend.
Cheerio.
Joe says that the song that brings a Tar Heel song memory lane list up for him, I don't know this song, Popcorn by Hot Butter. He says, for whatever reason, during the 1990s, the Smith Center sound system would play this odd, wordless electronic song after every home game while the final remnants of the home crowd filtered out and the ushers and volunteers began cleaning out the arena. Adam, can you confirm this?
No.
There was even a corresponding animation of popping popcorn kernels.
I do remember that.
That played on the ultra high tech digital display that was used to adorn the concrete base of the upper deck.
You remember that board had the little thing like when somebody threw a good pass and it was like the pointer finger and it would go brrrr and like stretch all the way across the board and then it'd go thanks and then it'd have to scroll up for the pass.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Joe says his dad always insisted on waiting for the arena to clear out before leaving our seats in order to avoid the crush at the door, so we invariably stuck out long enough to hear the tune. He said the song haunted Joe for years because he had no idea what it was called, though in retrospect it seemed kind of obvious. He said he could not look it up by its non-existent lyrics. He would hum or whistle the tune to himself, and long after it stopped being played at the Smith Center, he would wonder whether he had simply imagined it. Thankfully, modern technology allowed him to search the tune. He said, I kid you not, by humming it into my laptop's microphone, ending my decades-long search.
Wow.
Now he can listen to it whenever he wants to trigger memories, spanning from King Rice to Serge Zwicker to Atamola Okalaja, eating M&Ms out of a cardboard box with his grandmother, and smelling glossy print game programs, Beefmaster Franks, and Carolina Blue buckets of popcorn. See you later, Big Grits, Joe. Adam, one final thing, and I know I've said this on the pod before. I know I have, but I also know we have new listeners. As you heard, even right then, I didn't do Atamola Okalaja just right. And the holy grail of audio, Adam, we've talked about this, right, is the big voice guy trying to say Atamola Okalaja for some kind of voice work. And it's the most incredible audio that I have ever listened to, and I don't know why I can't find it anymore. but it's the big voice guy, and I know his name's Steve Kelly. I don't think we use him anymore. I know nothing about Steve Kelly other than he used to do voice work for the Tar Heel Sports Network, like even before I was there, like in the 90s. And it's unbelievable. And he goes, oh, stump the announcer time. We've talked about this. Yeah. And it's he goes, Adamola Okulaja. Adimola Okulaja. And it's him struggling through Adamola Okulaja for like 5 minutes, and it's unbelievable. If I ever find it, I make this pod promise to you that I will play it on the pod.
That reminds me of something I just discovered this weekend. I was looking at the Carolina basketball roster on the internet webpage, GoHeels.com.
For this year?
Yeah. And three of the names have a little button you can push.
The ear it.
And it pronounces the names.
Yeah, that's me doing
And it's you.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Why didn't you tell me that had occurred?
Yeah, so we did that. That service has been around for a while. This is the first year Carolina has used it. But it's useful.
Yeah.
Because not only – I mean, you can read a pronunciation guide.
Right.
But even that – I mean, sometimes even that leaves some gray area. But if you hear somebody say it, then it makes a difference. So for basketball, honestly, Carolina really was a really pretty easy list. I think who was on the –
KJ Smith.
I think it was Playtech, Nasir Little, and Leaky Black.
Yep.
Because it was for Rayshon, his first name.
Right.
But those were the only ones I think for basketball that were on there this year. For football, there were a lot because we used it for the first time in football as well. And so you can go back and listen to it there too. But what an exciting new world it is.
Next year when you do it, when you get the list, you're gonna go, oh, it's
Stump the announcer time. Cade Fortin. Okay, Adam, anything else?
No.
Then it is time for us to let land. Oh, hold on. So later in the week, basketball end-of-year banquet is on Wednesday. Adam and I will both be there. We'll talk about that. Well, I don't know if you're going to be there. I'm going to be there.
I'll be there.
You going to be there?
Yeah.
So Adam and I will both be there.
I'm your date.
I'm your plus one. So Adam and I will both be there for that. So we'll talk about that. We have a guest that we haven't done the interview yet. If it's who we think it's going to be, then you will definitely be interested in it. We also, by the way, we have several guests that we already have lined up and a couple more that we have scheduled this week that I think you're really going to enjoy coming up over the next few weeks. And maybe not Roadhouse Challenge. Keep you on your toes. We don't know.
We'll definitely do it sometime.
Yeah. In the next three shows, we'll have a Roadhouse Challenge. Will it be this week? Maybe. We don't know.
But you should go ahead and watch Days of Thunder so you'll be prepared.
Yeah. But for now, we're going to let Landon Turner and the RZA send us out on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
I'm Landon Turner. See you later, Big Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat.
Box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all.
See you later, Big Grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.